Good morning, everyone. Very glad to see that you have decided to join us this morning. And praise God for the beautiful day that we have. It's a little bit breezy, it's sunny, it's like really good temperature. It's just a nice day. And there's something I also noticed that during our prayers, our prayer and praise service, that there were many more praises than there were requests. So I think that's a good sign. People are knowing the good things that God puts in our life and willing to share them. So this morning's message title is Congratulations. So I did a morph or a play on words for this morning's title, Congratulations. And I do know that congratulations has a T in it, even though I've seen it many times with a D in it, even in like a public display, like on somebody that should know better. Sometimes it says congratulations or congratulations with a D instead of a T. It took me several years after my famously informative school years to find that out. So it was probably like last week I learned this. So I morphed congratulations with graduation to have congratulation. It has an S on the end. I just didn't want you to think I was just dumb. So there was a reason for the title the way it is. For this week's, or this weekend's message, I felt a Memorial Day or a graduation message or a type message would be appropriate, so I chose graduation, since we were at one yesterday, and it's the season for graduation, but it's also the season for Memorial Day, as it is this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. So congrats to those seniors of high school from our own group here at Flag Center. Congrats, not congrats. I know the difference a little bit. Oh, let's clap for them. That was nice. They're looking a little sheepish right now. I don't know why. I know since I went to school, more graduations have developed, starting with kindergarten. You know, like when I was a senior in 1970, that was like a century ago, 1978, there were high school graduation, and that's it. But now they have kindergarten, sixth grade, eighth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade, every grade. So things have changed. And by the way, yesterday I saw an online story, which none of you guys probably ever follow, about a brawl with parents about a seating arrangement at a kindergarten graduation in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio. The parents got in a fight over how the seating was supposed to be at a kindergarten graduation. Can you believe that? A kindergarten graduation and a fight to go along with it. I don't know which is worse, the kindergarten graduation or the fight, but probably the fight. Probably the fight's worse. So I was going to honor those from high school graduating today, not kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, so on and so on, just 12th grade. That's enough for me. College might be, but the biggest turning point, I think, in people's lives is high school, the high school graduation. So if you're graduating from some other grade, please don't take any offense, because today it's about the high schoolers. You guys that are underclass people, pay attention to what I'm going to say, because in some time, hopefully, it's going to be about you. But today it's about those seniors. So this won't be a super long or a long-winded message today, because we have graduation parties and birthday parties. Where'd Weston go? And birthday parties to go to, right? So we can't let this drag out. We have parties to attend to. Plus, I don't know how long I can stand on my 4-week and 5-day-old knee. So that's a positive thing for you guys, probably. Probably can't stand on my old new knee. Is that an oxymoron? I don't know. It might be. I didn't learn that part in school. But it will be a bit eclectic in the message, much like high school is, so it should fit right in with what you've been used to. So, I have my first slide. Would you look at that? Can you turn off another row of lights? Now look at that. They're brighter, aren't they? They're very bright. I know what you're thinking. No, this is not the singing group ABBA. See, if you take their first initials, hey man, what happened? I told you I didn't graduate very well. If you take A-B-A, ABBA, ABBA, that's a singing group, right? Well, that's not what this is. No, that's not it. You didn't guess it right. Even if their initials might reflect it, and I never was a good speller. I forgot one of the B's. ABBA has two B's. I had to look that up. Alex, Ben, I don't know, Brody, Andrew, then it could be ABBA. But we're missing a person, so it can't be ABBA. That's not what it is. What do you guys see when you see this picture? Well, since I'm the speaker this morning, I get to say and tell you what I see in the picture. Maybe that's a little incentive that you might want to be the speaker sometime and say what you are. One thing that I see in this picture is three men that are young that are about to have major change in their lives. And they have one summer left. And then everything is different. I remember that when I was that age. I remember thinking, this is my last summer of normalcy. And then after this, I don't get summers anymore. And it was true. Even though it came summer, I was pretty busy. So I see three men whose lives are about to change. There's another thing I see in the picture. Three very intelligent men, and I want you to notice their tassels. That's a tassel, guy, by the way. For you that don't know what a tassel is, those are tassels. I'm going to tell you about the tassels now. In Rochelle, which they graduated from, which is across the street, the graduation tassels are purple and white. But they also have a little year medallion on there to tell you what year you graduated, and they're purple and white strands. Well, you'll notice that these tassels are yellow. That ain't purple and white. This is purple and white. Yeah, they're yellow. What's up with that? Well, Rochelle High School signifies a student of academic honors with a gold tassel on their hat or on their cap. In Latin, they call this cum laude, and it translates with praise in English. Cum laude. I don't know why they do that, but they do that all the time. They put some Latin phrases all over, and they do that for graduations. Cum laude means with praise in English. All of these guys graduated with honors or with praise from the Rochelle teaching staff. All three of them. There's three of them here. There's three on the wall. They all got honors. 61 of the 174 student body graduated with honors. There are three of them right there. To graduate with honors, you have to have a GPA of between 3.5 and 3.99 GPA. Did I get it right? If you get one more, then it's 4.0, right? So anything from 3.5 to 4.0 is graduating with honors. That's called cum laude, with praise. Well, there's one thing that this picture doesn't show. I'll tell you about that now. The Carniar was awarded to Alex. That's this guy. Uh-oh, I did it again. You guys know what's coming now. That one's Alex. This one is Andrew. That one's Ben. I got my ABBA spelled wrong, but, you know, they wouldn't stand in the right spot. Alex got the Kearney R awarded to him, and 19 of his classmates, of his other classmates, they weren't these two, but there were 19 other classmates that were awarded the Kearney R along with Alex. The Latins call this summa cum laude, or in English, with highest praise. You can't go any higher. This is the highest praise level. Normally, to tell you about the kind of people that get this award, 1-5% of a class achieve this honor. So that puts Alex at the pretty high top of his class. A requirement for summa cum laude is for each year of high school, you must achieve a grade point average, or a GPA, of at least 4.0. That's the requirement. 4.0 is considered a perfect GPA. And Alex's GPA was around 4.2. Wow. All I know is that all of these guys are way out of my realm of schooling. I mean, way out. I don't even think I got a tassel. They just made me wear a cap and a gown. They wouldn't even give me a tassel. They're way out of my realm of schooling and smartness. You guys can be whatever you want to be. Their scholastic ability shows that. And they were awarded for it, or rewarded for it, or with an award. And one more thing I see. A future entrepreneur. A future physical therapist. And a future engineer. You'll have to talk to them to find out which one's which. I don't know if I told them. I didn't tell you to put spaces between there. I have to leave them up because I didn't tell them to put spaces between. I normally do. Sorry. My bad. Okay, so you guys don't pay attention to the wall. Okay, you guys ought to be proud of yourselves, and I'm definitely proud of all three of you. And now for a little bit of the eclectic advice from an old guy that didn't do half that well in school. So I don't know if you can listen to me or not. So I don't know. That's up to you to decide that. So I want to start off with advice from the Bible. That way it's off me. It's on the Bible, right? So the verses coming up are from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is where the Sermon on the Mount is found, in case you don't know. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's Sermon on the Mount. I happen to believe that this is the kickoff for the new covenant that we've been recently discussing. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is a kickoff for that new covenant, which is the end of the law. Romans 10, 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." I'll repeat that one. Romans 10 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Did you add those? Well, that was very, very nice. Okay, so this is the song that we sang, in case you don't recognize it. They had the wise man and the foolish man in it. Did you know that that song has a Bible base? Well, it does, and we're going to go over a part of the scripture where that's found, and that's out of the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be in Matthew 3, 13 through 29, and you can look at the picture as I read it if you want to. And Sermon on the Mount is a discourse or a sermon that Jesus gave to a group of people, and it kind of begins in 5 and gets over like at the end of 7. And it covers a lot of different topics, so it's kind of an eclectic message in itself. But so I'm going to go over what I'm going to go over is towards the end of it. I'm going to read it out of the, Mike has done this before, the one God the Father, one man Messiah translation, or if you want to call it something simpler, the Buzzard Bible. This is the Bible that Anthony Buzzard translated. He translated the New Testament only, but that's the one that he translated quite a while ago, a few years ago. And I want to read from it to you part of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to start with verse 13 in chapter 7 and go to verse 28, which is the end of the chapter. And follow along. It has warnings for you new seniors or old seniors, new whatever you want to be called. It has warnings, but it also has advice of what to do. It has what not to do and what to do in these verses. These are some of them. And this is just advice that I want to talk about. Enter the kingdom by the narrow gateway, for the entrance is wide and the way is broad, which leads to destruction. And many travel on that road, but the entrance is narrow on the way. But the entrance is narrow, and on the way is difficult, which leads to life. And only few people find it, or only few find it. Be on guard against false prophets who come wearing sheep's clothing, but on the inside are ravenous or vicious wolves. You will be able to recognize them by their fruits. So it's telling you how to pick them out. Do people harvest grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Does every good tree produce good fruit while a bad tree produces bad fruit? A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Thanks. Every tree which does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. That's a warning for us if we don't produce good fruit. Also for the people that we're dealing with, that we recognize that they are good fruit or not good fruit. This way you are able to recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who addresses me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Multitudes will say to me in that future day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not teach religion using your name and drive out demons in your name as a Christian and perform many spectacular miracles in your name, claiming to be Christians? Then I will respond to them, I never recognized what you were doing. Remove yourself from my presence, you people who practice wickedness. That's a pretty stern warning from Jesus. So everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on solid rock. The rain poured down, the floods rose, the winds blew hard against the house, but it did not collapse. That's the one on your left, right? It does not collapse because it's on a solid rock. Everyone who hears the word I say and does not believe and follow them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain poured down, the floods rose, and the winds blew hard against the house, and it suffered a total collapse. When Jesus finished these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings. He taught them as someone with authority, not like their religious instructors. So he was kind of outstanding from the regular norm of what they were calling church in their synagogues. And he did have the authority. God gave him that authority. So those are the verses I wanted to read. And especially for you graduates, a lot of things will change. And don't forget that your foundation needs to be on a solid rock. And I'm using this for advice about your own lives and what should be most important to you. Not me, but the scripture. All of us, even if we're not graduating, have an eternal decision to make. And because you're at the school turning age, sometimes things get upset at this point. We all have an eternal decision to make, whether to be an enemy of God or to be a friend of God. There are two choices, an enemy of God or a friend of God. It's our choice or your choice. But it is inevitable. One of these scenarios will play out. we will either be a friend of God or an enemy of God. And if you haven't chosen Christ to be your spokesman to God or be your foundation, you need to. Having Jesus as your foundation to build from is how we please God. And my next slide will kind of show that. John 10, 27 through 29 is where it's from. And this is NASB. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So there's some security on that foundation, that rock of Christ. No one can snatch them out of his hand. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand." So our security isn't in our career choice. It's in Christ as our foundation. When God is our friend, we don't have an enemy. A friend of Christ is a friend of God's, God the Almighty. And I bring this advice because some of man's education includes teaching that there is no God. Many times, colleges or higher learning institutions teach atheism. And that's missing the point of security from God's perspective, our Creator's perspective. The opening verse from Psalms 14 and Psalm 53 is, here's what it says, I'll quote it, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So beware in higher learning. Or be aware in higher learning. Enough said. A little bit more of the eclecticism. I said it would be eclectic, right? Okay, we're gonna change the direction here. Well, this advice is about picking a mate. What? We're just graduating and now you're marrying us off? No, not quite. I know. Look at me. All of a sudden, I'm 65. So these things happen fast. So the advice never changes, for me anyway. Those big life-changing events are often close together. Graduation, marriage, children, next thing you know, you're 65, right? Well, you're lucky if you're 65, right, Floyd? I can only say that to a few people in here. Someone that's older than me, just a little bit. But these life-changing events are very close together oftentimes. I suppose due to some of it is due to the age that we are when we graduate. We're getting close to the time where we're thinking about getting married or something like that. Sometimes it might be due to we're going to a new place, a place of higher education, or even a job where you have a new audience and you think, "Ooh, wow, look what I see over there." You know what I'm saying? You might see someone in your surroundings that you think, "Wow, they're kind of impressing me a little bit here." You will be meeting new people if you're going to an additional education after high school or to a job. Either way, you're going to be meeting new people. So my advice for this will be straight out of the Bible for this topic, because I don't want to risk telling you the wrong message. And this is about marriage. Even if you think your marriage is a ways off still, it still applies. And to be honest, it gives you a little bit more time to think about what God wants you to do in the situation. And that kind of, that foundation of Christ should make you think, what does God want me to do in this situation of marriage? When I pick a partner that's going to be with me the rest of my life, what should I be looking for? What should I do? Maybe you would want God's input in a decision about that. So this is one that you should study. Even if you're not thinking of it right now, you should be studying it now. And you people that are underclassmen, it's a good idea for you to study it too, so you have an idea what you're going to be looking for. And if you know me by now, you'll know I'm going to say 1 Corinthians 7. Do you know that song? If you know me by now. All those kids at this age know that I'm going to say something from 1 Corinthians 7 because it is the marriage chapter. If you didn't know, now you do. 1 Corinthians 7 is the marriage chapter. It's something that you should study and understand because it gives you quite a few rules of what you can do and not do to follow God's word. And I thought I would sing it to you so you would remember it better. 1 Corinthians 7. I won't sing it again. So the verse I want to use out of 1 Corinthians 7 is verse 39. And you should study this chapter about marriage. It contains a lot of information about the subject. Some of it is Paul's opinion. So you need to read that to know what he says. This is not from the Lord. This is what I say. And I don't know. Do we believe Paul? Should we believe what he says? That's a decision you have to think about on your own too. I kind of think so. I mean, he kind of had special treatment on his teaching about what Christ told him when after he saw the light or was blinded by the light. But some of it is God's commandment. Some of it is Paul's opinion. Some of it is God's commandment. Whatever is God's commandment gives us a little bit less interpretive wiggle room, I think. It should. If it's God's commandment, it's God's commandment. We shouldn't have very much wiggle room on it. Well, the particular verse I wanted to look at is verse 39 and 7. And it might have a little controversy for us in it right there. It says, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. And my key of this verse was only going to be only in the Lord. Speaking about marriage. Now you could say, and I'm going to say that if you pick a mate, you should only pick a mate that's in the Lord. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I believe. But this verse, it's more classified than there. It has qualifications in it, I'll say. So you could argue and say, well, you only have to pick a Christian or someone that's only in the Lord if your husband is dead and you're a widow and are going to remarry. That's the only time. Well, I want to say that it implies to any marriage that you have that you would only pick someone who is in the Lord or someone that is a Christian or someone that is in your faith. But you could say that it's qualified and it only applies to the woman who has a husband that died. You could say that. I believe it applies to any Christian marriage, whether the first or another. And I'll give you another slide of a different verse. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, a few verses, it's four verses. And it says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Well, that's another verse that kind of says the same thing as the other one, only it's a bigger, broader subject. The subject of binding it. Marriage is in that subject, but I'm sure there are other things that are in that as well. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Excuse me, I don't know how to do the cough button. I tried to cover it. So I believe this passage should make us examine our relationships with others, whether it's marriage or other types of relationships, even past the subject of marriage. But I think marriage is included, and not to bind with unbelievers. Stick to it, and at the bottom of the phrase, and God will become a father to you, it says in verse 18. And that's what we want, God to be our Father. Excuse me. I got a bird in my throat. So, to recap today's message, I told you it would be short and sweet so that you can get to your parties. For you people that are younger than grads to think about, for you that are grads to take action about, number one, we're proud of where you are. Number two, as you continue your changing life, let Jesus and his teachings be your foundation. And number three, be careful and prayerful of all of your choices, because they are your choices. For a closing song, let's stand and turn to